Hey, welcome back to Haunted Haze. I'm Josh.
I'm Kristen.
And this is episode 18.
Yes, 18. And we're talking about vampires.
Yeah, real vampires. Real stories of real vampires.
I have a... You know what I think of when I think of real vampires?
Yeah. What is that?
One time we went to this little shop in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And that was I think that was the first time that I had even been exposed to the thought that there was real vampires.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I remember this shop. I can't remember the name of it.
I can't either. I don't even remember exactly what street it was on, but it was in the French Quarter for sure. And what was it? Did they have maybe like real vampires? Oh, they had like a secret bar.
Oh, yeah, that you had to know, like, it was like a speakeasy.
And they would have given us the password if we wanted it.
It was
a speakeasy.
And they said that actual real vampires, people that established themselves as real vampires, which is an actual thing in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Along with other cities, I think Boston, New York, there's other cities where there's actual people listed as vampires. So there are, in fact, real vampires.
Yeah, I didn't even really know that there was a such thing as real vampires, but I just looked like more into it, and there's actually a such thing as the New Orleans Vampire Association.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I looked more into it, and it said some of the vampires do drink blood.
Yes.
And it's from donors.
Yes, there are people that will allow them to.
Yeah. That.
Now, I don't know the process of that. I'm not sure, like, if they're cutting on them or...
Whenever I first read it, I thought, like, oh, like a donor. Like,
it's probably also something...
A bag of blood, but no.
A bag of blood. No, it's also probably something that's kind of, like, personal, right, to them? Like, how they feed off of someone?
Yeah, it sounds, some of the vampires don't do that, and they say that they feed off of sexual energy.
Well, okay, so remember...
And so, but the whole thing feels sexual.
Well, remember True Blood?
Yeah.
When they would come over and they would feed off of vampire's blood.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that one guy, he was having Lafayette come over.
Oh, yeah, 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 the vampire.
And that's how he was filling up his V.
He was trading the sexual favors or whatever for the blood.
Yes, exactly.
He's my favorite character in that show.
But what I'm saying is life imitates art.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So it kind of seems like they're kind of showing us an inside of maybe how...
Like real vampires.
Vampires do it.
Yeah, because, I mean, no matter... I think that there's no... Also, do these people worry about, like, STDs?
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, surely you have to get tested first.
Yeah, I'm sure, like... That's probably what being part of the association helps with,
oh,
right?
Yeah, so like, making actually, sure it's all legit, like, you're clean and tested.
Yeah, for sure. I think...
Man.
Otherwise, wants their association... I'm sure there's other people...
Vampire rights.
...vary around, right?
Well... Also, if I would have already watched True Blood whenever we had went into that little vampire shop...
Yeah.
I would have probably been more intrigued to go to the vampire bar.
I know. I wish I could remember that place in New Orleans.
I kind of feel like if I was just walking around down there, I'd be able to find it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. Like, they had, like, all kind of, like, cool trinkets.
Yeah.
It was a cool shop. If anyone remembers or knows of that shop...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hit us up and let us know.
Like, send us a message or something on Facebook. You can find us at Facebook and Instagram at Haunted Haze Podcast.
Yeah, and email us at hauntedhazepodcast@gmail.com.
What do you think of when you think of vampires?
Well, I think of, like, terrifying Dracula.
Yeah.
Nosferatu...
So, like, a good classic vampire.
Yeah,
good you were classic. A good vampire for Halloween last year.
Oh, yeah.
Vampire, you killed it.
If you're going to have a Halloween party, being a vampire is actually one of the most functional
costumes.
Scary costumes you can go
You do have to think about that whenever you're going to a party with your costume. Like, you is this functional? You can't eat
a drink with a mask on.
Or, like, with extreme, like, face paint and stuff either, really. Right. You know, you can't...
And a vampire, like, I can just kind of... I do my makeup pretty good.
Oh, yeah, you do. You're actually really good at doing, like, Halloween makeup and blood effects and stuff.
Yeah.
Like... Yeah, vampires, you have a knack for it.
Vampires have always been one of my favorite monsters. I mean, like, some of my favorite movies, From Dusk Till Dawn.
That's, yeah, all right.
That's
I
a
mean,
great vampire movie.
I've thought about some vampire movies that I like, so I wrote a couple down, and From Dusk Till Dawn is on my list.
Yeah, definitely.
It's such a good one.
You made a list? Why didn't you not tell me? I would have made a list.
Oh.
Let's go. Let's hear your list.
Okay, it's real lame.
Okay.
Twilight.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah, all right, let's stop.
All right. I've seen all those movies. Dark Shadows.
Okay, come on.
Isn't he a vampire?
Was that number four?
No, Dark Shadows with Johnny Depp.
Yeah, that's what... Yeah, I know what movie...
Oh,
yeah,
you're saying that's like the fourth rendition of that?
No, is that your number four? Or are we heating up? Or are we cooling down?
Oh, this is really no particular order.
All right, proceed.
From Dusk Till Dawn is on the list.
Okay, fine.
And then True Blood. And I know that that's not a movie, but it's a lot of vampire shit.
True Blood's cool, and I'm sure a lot of people would agree with you, especially people that have read, like, the True Blood books.
Oh, I would like to, but it's just I can't dedicate my time like that right now.
I know, it's so hard to read.
I know.
That's so bad.
I know, we're stupid again.
Yeah, okay. Too much going on.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean... I think that that's just a good overall vampire. They make vampires scary.
Yeah.
But also relatable. But I did see, like, a statistic on, it was, like, one of those things I follow on Instagram that's, like, Uber Facts or something. You know, I don't know how legit it is. But it said if real vampires did exist, like, say, like, True Blood vampires.
Yeah.
That they would wipe out the human population in 3 years.
Yeah, especially if they had to feed, like, normal humans.
Yeah, like that much.
If you have to feed, like, 3 times a day.
Well, because you think, like, that's how much you would have to get enough nutrients.
Yo, so can I do my, like, five
movies
real quick?
Yeah.
Just off the dome.
Yeah.
All right, ready?
Yes.
30 Days of Night.
Good.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
I like it, obviously.
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Okay. Classic.
Lost Boys.
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't think about that.
Probably Fright Night.
I'm going to just throw an honorable mention out there.
Yeah.
Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I was going to mention that, and I think that maybe one time you and I watched that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have a terrible memory, and I don't really remember it, so I feel like I can't confidently even say that I know what that movie's about.
Well, also, I enjoy, I also enjoy, like, Blade and Underworld. Like,
oh,
those
movies. Like, those are vampire movies.
But also, at the same time, like, they're a little more action than they are, like, horror, scary vampires. And when it comes to vampires, I definitely prefer to think of them as horror, scary, Nosferatu, Salem's Lot, Dracula, creeping up,
yeah.
You know, eerie vampires. Dracula, there's, like, some of the most scary vampires in... ever depicted on film, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think that... I've never seen 30 Days of Night, but I would like to. It's on my list of movies I want to watch.
Oh, really? Were they in Alaska?
Yeah, I've never seen that.
I think every time I try to watch it, you're like, no, this is too scary, and you go do something else. Like, really, because I've watched it recently.
So, I have some stuff here. Do you want me to go ahead and get into it? It's kind of like just some, like, backstory and history into vampires.
Yeah, so we're going to actually talk about real vampires and the origins of vampires,
yeah.
Right? Like, it's kind of like the history and like, some actual real world accounts of vampires.
Yeah,
like
I'm excited to hear
some real vampire stories.
Well, what I have here first is, what is a vampire? There are almost as many different characteristics of vampires as there are vampire legends. But the main characteristic of vampires is they drink human blood. They typically drain their victim's blood using their sharp fangs, killing them and turning them into vampires. So basically, we're agreeing that we don't believe that real vampires have fangs. that's because we're like, how do they get the blood?
Well, definitely in New Orleans, I do believe some of those people that associate themselves as vampires, a lot of them do like have their, at least get their teeth filed down to fangs.
Oh, really?
And I do think that's part of the process, is, and that's kind of the part of the lure, is that the fang is like piercing you and the biting on your neck and how that's sexual. And
ew, it's also scary.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, but...
I mean, whatever...
Vampires have nice smiles.
I wonder if some of them get implant fangs.
Yeah, I'm sure. People get all kind of implants nowadays, so why not get fang implants?
Yeah.
I would if I were a vampire.
This says, in general, vampires hunt at night, and since sunlight weakens their powers, some may have the ability to morph into a bat or a wolf. Vampires have super strength and are often and often have a hypnotic, sensual effect on their victims. They can't see their image in a mirror and cast no shadows.
Yes.
So that's some of the rules. You know, vampires, I think we've talked about that before. Vampires come with a lot of rules.
Vampires do come with a lot of rules, actually. That is true.
Are vampires real? The vampire superstition thrived in the Middle Ages, especially as the plague decimated entire towns. The disease often left behind bleeding mouth lesions on its victims, which, to the uneducated, was a sure sight of vampirism. It wasn't uncommon for anyone with unfamiliar physical or emotional illnesses to be labeled a vampire. Many researchers have pointed to porphyria, a blood disorder that can cause several blisters on the skin that's exposed to sunlight.
Ugh, wow, that's awful.
Yeah, it's awful. Man, I mean, I think I've heard of that before. It's almost like being allergic to the sun. I think there's
that's
a true
lupus,
life about
though,
that.
Isn't lupus allergic to the sun?
Or no, like, I don't think so.
I thought lupus had something to do with like being in the sun.
It may. There may be like a side effect of that. I'm not sure.
Okay, anyway.
Some symptoms of porphyria can be temporarily relieved by ingesting blood. Other diseases blamed for promoting the vampire myth include rabies or goiter. When suspected vampires die, their bodies were often disinterred to search for signs of vampirism. In some cases, a stake was thrust through the corpse's heart to make sure they stayed dead.
Just in case.
Other accounts describe decapitation and burning of the corpse of suspected vampires well into the 19th century.
Wow. Well into the 19th century.
That's like, what, the 1800s?
Yeah. So, in the 1800s, there were still staking vampires or people that died just in case.
Yeah. That sounds awful, to be staked.
Well, if you're dead.
I don't
if you're a vampire,
care.
Yes.
Although modern science has silenced the vampire's fear of the past, people who call themselves vampires do exist. They're normal-seeming people who drink small amounts of blood in an effort to stay healthy. Communities of self-identified vampires can be found on the internet and in cities and towns around the world. To avoid rekindling vampire superstitions, the modern vampires keep to themselves and typically conduct their feeding rituals, which include drinking blood of willing donors, in private. Some vampires don't ingest human blood, but claim to feed off the energy of others. Many state that they don't feed regularly, but they become agitated or depressed.
Wow.
Wow, that's awful.
It's kind of like an addiction.
Vampires became mainstream after Dracula was published. Since then, Count Dracula's legendary persona has been the topic of many films, books, and television shows. Given the fascination people have with all things horror, vampires, real or imagined, are likely to continue to inhabit the earth for years to come.
Wow.
That is crazy.
Yeah, really.
But also, I mean, I'm not that, we're obviously, we were exposed to that, like, okay, vampires really exist. Which, I mean, I know you obviously probably already knew that, but, you know, I was a little sheltered.
Well, also, so, like, with, like, the real vampires, I don't think they're out to harm anyone. As as with anything, there's always someone that is.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I'm sure there's someone that's an asshole and wants to harm
people.
But
I think that they're all completely doing this with somebody who's willing.
Yes. And I just feel like it's their kind of way of life, their kind of way of religion. And as long as they're doing it with a consenting adult,
yeah,
I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Most known vampires from pop culture and literature are the horror genre. And it's safe to say that throughout the decades, both the appearance, storytelling, and allure of the creature have been altered significantly. What started out as the monster living in a castle has somehow turned into the immortal young adult love story. The ancient evil, which has once surrounded these legends, has turned into a modern-day hero. Looking back at the evolution of all mythical creatures, werewolves, once known as lycans, included being romanticized. As with all things, a single moment in time must be pinpointed in order to mark the exact inspiration for such tales. Going back, it's evident that history will always hold the key to learning how and why the term vampire came about. And while many believe it started with Bran Castle in Transylvania, there have been many more instances throughout the centuries which prompted both fear and curiosity about these beings. They weren't always touted as heroes, and they definitely didn't fall in love with humans, and the real-life vampires were far more terrifying than what we know in movies and in literature today. Vlad the Impaler. Everyone has heard the famous stories of Vlad the Impaler, the ruthless ruler who led reign of terror across Europe between the years of 1456 and 1462. While he has gone down in history as being the just ruler, according to history, he has had a reputation for brutality due to his favorite way of eradicating enemies. He had a love for impaling people, which is obvious.
Ugh.
What?
Impaling someone?
Oh, yeah. It is obviously what inspired his horrific title, but supposedly his cruel actions didn't simply end at impaling. It was also rumored that Vlad the Impaler would dip his bread into the blood of his enemies, but there's no evidence to discount or confirm this accusation. That's pretty bold of someone who's impaling people to then drink some of their blood with their bread.
Yeah. That is pretty hardcore.
While it would be fitting for such a tyrannic ruler, these gruesome habits are also said to have inspired Bram Stoker's Dracula, which took place at the same location, Romania, and a castle which Vlad the Impaler would have been familiar with, Bran Castle. Therefore, Vlad the Impaler has become well known in vampire history, even though the traditional actions of a vampire are slightly different. Mercy Brown. Another well-known figure in the vampire lore is Mercy Brown. Perhaps one of the most tragic tales, Brown is said to be one of the most notorious vampires in history. She lived in Exeter, Rhode Island in the late 1800s. Similar to the witch trials of Salem, Massachusetts, there was a period of time when the residents of New England believed that vampirism was also an evil disease, and the bodies of the undead would often be searched for what townspeople considered to be signs and symptoms. Brown was one of the many members of her immediate family who passed on around the same time, thus prompting an investigation into their deaths and the potential for vampirism. During this time, it was not uncommon for people to blame such a mass tragedy on one family member, thus citing vampirism as a cause. It was a combination of biology and coincidence that Brown died during the winter of New England and was also buried in an above-ground vault, which helped preserve her body for far longer than an average burial. Therefore, when her body was exhumed and examined, it was determined that vampirism was the cause of such a miraculous preservation. After she was accused, the townspeople cut out her heart and burned it. It was a common practice for those suspected of vampirism in order to prevent her from further cursing the family from the
grave. That's interesting, too. Like, who came up with...
Like, the no aging thing?
Well, no, who came up with the process of, like, we cut the heart out and then burn it? You know, like, what the hell?
Oh, like, how do y'all have these rules? Yeah. Where do y'all get the rules?
Yeah.
The New England Vampire Pandemic. During the 1800s, medical practice was nothing what it is today. It was in its early stages, and there was still much to learn about the human body. Tuberculosis was affecting much of the population, and its effects on the bodies were not only new, but horrifying. In some cases, leading to mass hysteria over what could be causing such an illness, and vampires were to blame. Superstition fueled many medical practices, and the expulsion of vampires was no different. And every time a person passed away from tuberculosis, called consumption back then, it was believed that their heart would need to be removed and burned, and that the ashes could be a cure for vampirism. While this was obviously wildly inaccurate, as well as dangerous, no one knew any better during the late 1800s. And it wasn't until many decades later when more would be learned about the disease, their causes, and potential treatment.
Wow.
I didn't know that, like, people could... They were confusing, like, they didn't know what this tuberculosis was. They were like, it must be fucking vampires.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I mean, I'm sure, like, any disease, they probably were like that at first, right? The devil or...
Yeah.
It's, you know, vampires.
I am thankful that we live in a time where there is, like, medical technology.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, I have 10 creepy historical accounts of real-life vampires.
Okay, I'm excited to hear about this.
Let's add to the whole vampire lore, will we? Or shall we?
We shall.
All right, so number 10. The Dekuwa Mass Vampire Attack. And Dekuwa is spelled, I'm doing my best here.
Okay.
D-E-K-E-K-U-O-I. Dekuwa.
Okay, I think that sounds right.
All right. In Bulgaria, vampires were said to start out as ghost-like creatures before they could physically rise from their graves. In its early stage, the vampire could only be seen faintly by the human eye. During the night, however, their forms gave off easily noticeable sparks. In 1863, the village of Dekuwa was reportedly plagued by a mob of young, sparkling vampires. The vampires attacked villagers, screamed outside their homes, and threw cow poop at pictures of saints. Although the vampires had not yet taken physical form, they could still be seen sparkling in the streets. An old witch eventually decided that enough was enough and went to a local cemetery. When she found the vampire's grave, she realized that they must have been escaping through holes in their tombstones. The witch sealed the holes, and a Dekuwa never experienced troubles with vampires again.
Hell yeah.
So... That's I guess pretty... that kind of gives some credibility to the sparkling vampire. All right, so number 9, the Catechonus of Crete. In his 1837 work, Travels in Crete, Englishman Robert Paisley recorded a strange vampire story. Before Paisley had visited Crete, a shepherd had unknowingly fallen asleep in front of the sepulcher of Catechonus, a local kind of vampire. That night, a voice in the tomb asked the shepherd to move his weapons, which the shepherd had accidentally left in the shape of a cross. The shepherd figured that the voice belonged to Catechonus, but agreed to keep out of the way if the Catechonus wouldn't hurt anybody. Sure enough, the vampire killed some newlyweds on his night out and returned home with a liver. The generous Catechonus offered his guests a piece of the snack. And then the shepherd left to tell some priest what had happened. A mob later gathered at the tomb and burned the creatures to ashes. However, one fingernail had to be set on fire twice before it was finally destroyed. Did not want to go out.
No.
Number 8. Justina Yushkov. In mid-19th century Russia, peasants often blamed vampires for the spread of epidemics. It was thought that the first person to die of an epidemic was a vampire, and that the disease could only be stopped if the vampire was killed.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like tuberculosis. During a cholera epidemic in one village in August 1848, a medical officer named Rubstov accused a dead pregnant girl named Justina Yushkov of being a vampire. When some peasants checked her corpse, they saw that her mouth was open, which they took as a sign that she was a vampire.
Oh, imagine that.
The peasants then cut open Justina's body and discovered that her baby was missing. The child's body was found in Justina's coffin. Believing this to be definite proof that Justina was a vampire, the peasants drove a stake through her mouth. Although they were satisfied, this act disgusted a pastor in the region, and he reported the incident to the local judge.
Why did they stake her in the mouth? That's not the rule.
I guess because, I don't know, all that seems weird. Her mouth was open.
Yeah, the baby was in the coffin.
Well, something disgusting, actually, is there is a such thing as called coffin birth. So, like, because of, like, the gases when you bloat and stuff, if you're pregnant and can deliver the baby, sometimes the baby actually will
be... Well, I'm sure that it's not common practice for them to bury pregnant women with a baby inside them.
No, but at some point, I think that probably might have been a problem.
Oh, you're right.
But I'm saying it is a thing. It's called coffin birth.
That's just... So that it could be what happened. But surely they would be able to tell, like, the placenta would still be attached and stuff.
I guess. Fuck it. Death metal.
Nasty.
Number 7, the Vampire of Bleu. A shepherd named Myslada died in the village of Bleu in Bohemia. After his death, Myslada became a vampire, and he set about terrorizing the village each night. Amazingly, he could kill a person by only calling out their name, which caused the person to die within 8 days. When the peasants tried pushing a stake through Myslada's heart, he mocked them and said that he would use the stake to ward off dogs. After that failed attempt, a professional executioner was tasked with getting rid of Myslada. The executioner and his attendants moved the vampire out of the village. Myslada screamed and flung his limbs the whole way out. The men pushed a bunch of stakes into Myslada's body and cremated him to ensure that he stayed dead. Wow.
That's awful.
Also, there's a professional executioner. Like, who you gonna call?
And... Ghostbusters, sorry. There is, like, a really bad problem of people's corpses being defiled because they're suspected vampires.
Yeah, right? Like, people were surprised. I mean, seeing a dead body, like, a decomposing dead body, like, pictures of it, I could understand, like, why they thought it was, like, some demon.
They never had seen that before, though.
I mean, I guess you'd never get tired or
see used it. To it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either.
All right, so number 6, the Wolfschlager vampire. German vampires were known to prefer their own family members as victims. In one infamous case from the 18th century, several members of the noble Wolfschlager family inexplicably died after the death of a male relative. The family feared that the older man was responsible, so they sent Joseph, the accused vampire's nephew, to take care of him.
Mm.
Armed with an axe and accompanied by a monk with a candle, Joseph ventured in the family crypt in modern-day Jakobsdorf, Germany. Although the monk ran away, Joseph was not afraid. He decapitated his uncle's body without a second thought. The young man took some of the vampire's blood for a souvenir, and it was said that the headless Wolfschlager vampire was still in the family crypt more than a century later.
Wow, that's awful.
See? Number 5. Johannes Cuntius. Yes, really. Johannes Cuntius was a wealthy alderman who lived in Silesian town of Pinch. One day in 1592, he fell sick after being kicked by a horse. Johannes grew mad in his illness and claimed on his deathbed that he was a terrible sinner. After Johannes was buried, there were reports across town that he raped a woman, haunted his old home, and assaulted several townspeople, including the son of a blacksmith. Story of Johannes' undead antics scared traders and travelers away from the town. The townspeople finally dug up his grave after half a year of being terrorized. With the permission of some judges, Johannes' body was chopped into tiny pieces and cremated. Wow.
Again, fucking with the dead body.
Well, it's also just like one little story and how it starts a wildfire, you know, like...
Also, like, can we have a follow-up on this? Did the shit continue after? Did it all stop after his body was chopped up and burned?
I'm trying to keep it short and sweet, so this is a little bit. Number 4, the Vampire of Anantis Castle. In the late 12th century, historian William of Newburgh recounted a story that he had heard from an elderly monk about a reanimated blood-sucking corpse that stalked the area of Anantis Castle. The vampire had once been a Yorkshire man who took refuge in the castle, possibly fleeing from his enemies or the law. The man had been a terrible person while alive, and he was even worse as a vampire. His stench poisoned the air wherever he went, and he was always being chased by howling dogs that the devil sent after him. After the town was nearly depopulated, two brothers dug up the vampire's body and hit it with their shovel. The vampire's body was bloated, and after being hit, it exploded with all the blood it had sucked. To destroy the creature, the brothers cut out its heart and set its body on fire.
Man.
What did they do with the hearts? Number three, the vampire of Buckinghamshire. Another interesting story passed down to us from William of Newsborough concerned a vampire in Buckinghamshire, England. This vampire visited his wife the day after he was buried and tried to kill her in bed. The vampire came back two more nights until he was chased away by some of the woman's neighbors. After this incident, he began to attack the other villagers, even assaulting groups of people during the daytime. Bishop Hugh of Lincoln was asked what to do about the monster. The bishop's colleagues recommended the vampire's body be cremated, but Hugh considered the idea to be sacrilegious. Instead, he wrote a letter pardoning the vampire of its sins, and this letter was put on the vampire's chest. Surprisingly, the letter worked, and the vampire was never seen again. Wow. So it's sacrilegious because in the Bible it says not to be cremated because you can't rise back from life, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh.
So that's why I say it's sacrilegious. Number two, Pasha Tomic. Although most Europeans stopped taking vampires seriously by the 20th century, belief in the creatures persisted in some rural areas. In the Bosnian village of Tupinari, for example, a vampire was reported to be active between April and May of 1923.
That's recent-ish, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sevilla Tomic, a widow, complained that her late husband, Paja, had returned as a vampire and ran through her house each night. Some of Sophia's neighbors were skeptical, but others thought she was telling the truth. After another month, Sophia's sons, Stevo and Christo, held a town meeting and agreed to destroy their father's body. They led a mob of peasants to the cemetery and disposed of Pasha's body. The mob stabbed the corpse with a hawthorn pole, cremated the body, and then tossed the surviving bones back into the vampire's plot. Number one, the Medveda vampire epidemic. In late 1731, the Serbian village of Medveda saw 13 of its inhabitants mysteriously die in a span of only 6 weeks.
Wow.
The authorities suspected plague, and they sent a medical specialist to check things out. After examining the village, the specialist couldn't find any proof of a plague. The villagers, in fact, pinned the deaths on a vampire named Arnold Pole. Pole had haunted the village a few years back, and he was earlier accused of killing 4 people. He had also attacked animals. The 13 villagers who died in the epidemic had eaten meat from these animals, and that meat was believed to have poisoned them.
Mm-hmm.
By January, the death toll had risen to 17, and some of the dead had become vampires themselves. After another official investigation, which included conducting autopsies on all the dead, the vampires' bodies were destroyed. The report from the investigation was immensely popular, and soon the story became known all across Western Europe. Well, there you go. There's 10 real
vampire stories.
Vampire stories. Do you believe in them? Let me say it now.
Yeah, that was a head shake now. I would say I believe in humans who think that they are vampires.
Well, yeah, that's for sure.
That's a fact. That's about it.
Okay. <He's> like,
not really
believing in the vampires.
No, not really.
Really?
Well, like I just said, if they really existed, they would wipe out the human population in 3 years.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that's a fact.
Okay, well, you don't believe in the literal sense of vampires, or, you know, I mean, like...
Like, has there been
every
one?
Every detail? Like, you're saying, like, every detail, every rule?
No, I think that that's all bullshit, but, I mean, I think overall, I think that vampires are bullshit, too. Well, but I just, you know, sometimes you can't let yourself go there. Or you'll get freaked out. Or you won't sleep. And, you know, like you'll be scared at night. And I'm not trying to live like that. Okay, so, no, I don't blame members. Next question.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of, like, interesting stories and pictures of, like, old... Like, I mean, obviously, like, people believed in this stuff enough to go out of their way to do certain things to rid themselves of vampires.
Yeah, but they also knew a lot less than we know now. And it sounds like a lot of the vampire plagues were really just illnesses swiping through.
Well, I mean, that definitely explains a lot of it, I'm sure. Yeah. But to me, there seems to be, like... Maybe there were certain creatures that are maybe people got possessed.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
Me neither.
Well, are you a real vampire?
We would love to hear from you. Oh my God, yes. That would be amazing.
Yeah, if you would love to,
obviously, like, we have questions.
Yeah, we would, if you want to hit us up, we would love to talk. We would, you know, like, we're not going to be rude or anything like that, but we're generally interested in what it's like to be...
No, we wouldn't be rude at all.
Yeah, so if anyone hears this that's actually part of the Vampire Association...
That'd be amazing, too.
Or, in fact, considers themselves a vampire, hit us up.
What's the classic vampire pet? Oh, a bat, I guess, maybe. But that's not really a pet.
Well, maybe a wolf?
I've never heard of that, vampires and wolves.
Yeah, there's... sometimes it's either that a vampire can turn into, like, a wolf, a.k.a. a werewolf, or that werewolves are their pets.
Mm.
Like they kind of have control over the werewolf.
And that's why they got beef.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, the werewolf wants to be free, but the vampire is kind of like the werewolf's master.
Mm.
That's why it's kind of a little bit better to be a vampire than it is a werewolf. Although, I love werewolves.
Yeah.
But
if I had to be one or the other, I'm picking vampire.
Right on.
For sure.
Hard. For sure.
Hard yes on the vampire life compared to dog life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it seems a
up
lot.
All night, sleep all day.
Yeah, that'd
just
be
like
me.
A party, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would miss the sun. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I would probably get some depression.
Well, all vampires seem depressed.
True.
Yeah.
All right. So, do you want to go again? Another round of trivia?
Yeah, let's do a round of trivia. All
right.
All right. So, yeah, let's play trivia again.
Yeah.
So, overall, you're up 2-1
yeah.
in the series. Best of 7.
Oh, I thought we were doing best of 5.
No, we're doing best of 7.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. 2-1, best of 7.
All right.
Winner receives a prize.
Yes.
Or present. A yes. gift. From the other person.
Yes.
All right. So I got some ground to make up. You're doing surprisingly well.
All right.
No more handicaps for you.
Okay. We didn't have handicaps, I don't think, last time. But
Right. And you still beat me. All right. So this week, how about we read one question?
Okay. Yeah, I like doing it that way.
Per.
All right.
All right. So would you like to go first?
I'll read you first.
Okay.
A group of young people are guided through an abandoned radioactive area in Russia in what 2012 film?
Chernobyl Diaries.
Correct.
All right. Who wrote the novella The Hellbound Heart, which inspired the movie Hellraiser? It is a name.
Mark Twain.
Hell yeah. I love how confident you said that. No, it's Clive Barker. You've heard of him, I'm sure. Clive Barker.
Travis Barker's dad.
No.
I'm just kidding.
My job.
What is the name of the possessed doll in Child's Play?
Chucky? Yes. Or is it... Okay.
Well, I mean, he has a full name.
Charles... You were gonna ask me.
No, well, you still got it right. I okay, just cool. Just in case you don't, I just was curious if you knew his full name.
Charles.
That's right.
something Junior or something, right?
It's Charles Lee Ray.
Charles Lee Ray.
All right, so two to nothing
so far. What Stephen King movie stars a teenager with a possessed 1958 Plymouth Fury? It's a car.
Oh my God, I know this.
Sometimes your name is mistaken for this.
Christine.
Yes. You got it. All right, so 2-1.
Thank you for that. What is the name of the horror film magazine that debuted in 1979 and is returning to print in 2018?
Rue Morgue.
No.
Fangoria.
Yes.
It's okay. It's okay.
You said the wrong one.
Yeah, Rue Morgue. And Fangoria is the correct answer?
Fangoria is the correct answer.
Yeah, so I said the wrong one first.
Okay.
It's okay. All right. I don't get it.
Okay, good.
All right, what character is revealed to be the werewolf in the movie Silver Bullet?
The uncle.
No.
Damn!
Tell you what.
Okay, the character that ends up being the werewolf.
Who's the werewolf in Silver Bullet? What character? Remember he got shot in the eye with a firework? The little boy in the...
No, I know he has the wheelchair that's motorized, and Gary Busey's in it.
Yeah, that's his uncle.
Yeah. I don't know. It's okay.
The priest.
Oh, I would have never guessed that. Oh, I can't remember like that, you know.
All right, so 2-1 still.
What body part was the creature after in the movie Jeepers Creepers?
Your eyes.
Yes.
All right, 3-1. And what movie does the government sanction an annual 12-hour period during which all criminal activity is legal?
The Purge.
There you go, yep. 3-2.
Complete this quote. I ate his liver with some...
With a nice Chianti and some fava beans.
Yes, but you just said it backwards. But you still get it. But this says fava beans and nice Chianti.
Which is a type of wine. So, 5-3?
5-3?
Or 4-3?
I ain't been keeping
up. Yeah, you're right. 4-3.
Are you sure? To be honest, I thought it was 2-2.
This 1931 movie features the classic line, "It's alive! It's alive!" Come on, 1931.
Yeah,
classic.
It's zombies.
It's alive. It's alive.
Night of the Living Dead.
No.
God damn it.
1931.
The Blob.
No.
Frankenstein.
Yes. Let's call it 4-4. All right, your turn.
Do we really not know the score?
It's 4-4 right now.
Are you positive?
I'm feel pretty comfortable with it.
Okay. I don't think that's right.
I don't like doing back-to-back questions.
Fair enough. Note this. What are the names of the two priests that perform the exorcism on Reagan in The Exorcist?
Father John Delaney?
No.
Your mother's in here with us. What was his name?
There's two of them.
I don't know. I can't remember their names.
Father Marin and Father Karras.
Karras. Your mother's in here with us, Karras. What horror franchise centers around a group of survivors who escape death and are killed one by one in freak accidents?
Final Destination.
Correct. Damn. So 4-5.
Who was the director of the 1982 movie Creepshow?
The director? Is it Stephen King? The director of Creepshow is Steven Spielberg?
No.
What is it?
George A. Romero.
George A. Romero. Damn it. I feel embarrassed for not knowing that one. All right, in The Night of the Comet, what popular Cyndi Lauper song was playing when Regina and Samantha were dancing in the mall?
Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yeah, that is the correct answer.
Thank you for some music knowledge. In what horror movie do we see Kevin Bacon impaled in his throat with an arrow?
Is it Friday the 13th?
Yes. I was worried you weren't going to get that for a second.
Yeah. So, 5 to 6.
Okay.
Which movie box cover shows one of the title bad guys popping out of the toilet?
Goosebumps.
No, good guess, but Ghoulies.
Mm-hmm. What 1986 horror movie features cameos from Ozzy Osbourne and Gene Simmons?
Trick or Treat.
Correct.
6 to 6. What Jennifer Love Hewitt-led horror movie revolves around a group of teens that hit a mysterious stranger with their car?
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Ding, ding, ding. Correct. All right, so I get redemption. I got to get this one right or you win.
This HBO TV series was based on the novels by Charlaine Harris featuring a telepathic waitress named Sookie Stackhouse.
True Blood.
Correct.
Sookie.
So next one to get it wrong loses.
Well, I think you still going to have to get redemption. Remember, like, college football.
Yeah, so next, we both have 7 right now.
Yeah, so the next person to get it wrong loses. Or...
Yeah, we're right. Go ahead, ask me a question.
What 2005 Eli Roth film set in Slovakia features the sadistic tortures of elite hunters?
Hostel.
Hostel! Ding, ding, ding!
What movie features an alien hunter hiding in the jungle using trees and camouflage?
Predator. Correct. Or The Predator.
No.
Just Predator.
Predator.
Yeah. Where is the 2008 movie The Strangers entirely set?
Lemmy knows that was him. He knows that this movie really stresses me out, so I've never watched it.
Where's the whole movie set?
The Strangers. I'm going to just guess it's in the woods, in a cabin in the woods. But is it like a city and state?
Nope. It's even more specific than what you just said. Like, basic.
Oh, a house.
Yeah, in a house.
I hate that movie. I don't know why it stresses me out so bad.
Yeah, we can never watch it.
They're Here. Name the movie.
Poltergeist.
Yes.
Buster Keaton's granddaughter, Camille Keaton, starred in what controversial 1978 graphic revenge flick that was later remade in 2010?
Candyman.
Nope. I Spit on Your Grave.
Oh. I've heard that movie's brutal.
Yeah, it's got some rough scenes. Kind of like
The Last House on the Left. Oh, that means you just won.
No, I...
Yeah.
I thought I had to get one right. You got that wrong, so I got to get one right.
I don't think that's how this works, but what actress plays Elizabeth in the 1980 movie The Fog?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Correct.
I won.
Yeah. So we're tied 2-2.
Tied 2-2. That was good.
Yeah.
We definitely come down to the wire on that every time, it seems. Neither one was the lose.
Well, because I, whenever there's a potential for a prize.
You're all in.
I am so competitive. And I don't know where it comes from. It might be like only child syndrome.
That would have been pretty rough, you going up 3-1. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's horror trivia. Like, really? All right, let's do verses.
Okay, all right. Here we go. Shaking it up. Shake up the box. All right.
All right, I'm gonna pick this time.
All right. Let me pop the top.
Ooh, the secret box. All right, here we go. Drum roll. Clown versus dolls.
Ew. Clown.
All right, guys.
You said dolls?
No. You know which one I'm picking.
Oh, yeah. Josh has a clown phobia.
Look, I just don't like clowns. When I was a little kid, we went to the circus, okay? And there was clowns everywhere, right? It's the circus. At some point during the circus, you could ride on an elephant. And so I got in line to ride on the elephant. Well, my mom took me down there And when I got closer in line, she went back to her seat. And I'm kind of sitting there waiting. I'm like a little young kid, like 5 maybe. And she goes back to her seat, and I'm waiting. And I'm kind of getting nervous, rethinking if I really want to do this. And, like, this clown is just keeps looking at me as he's, like, putting, like, other kids up on elephants. And when it becomes my turn, I kind of just freak out. I'm like, no, I want to go back. And he literally looks down at me and gets in my face, and he's like, what's wrong, kid? You afraid you'll never see your mommy again? And it freaks me out, and it picks me up, puts me on the elephant, and then I'm literally on the elephant going around the arena looking for my parents.
You know what? That elephant you were riding was just as sad as you were.
Damn, Kristen really bringing it down. But since that day, I
have had a...
Well, think about
clown-phobia.
What good clown.
I mean, I remember being in fifth grade, spending the night at my friend's house and watching It for the first time. And was just utterly terrified.
Yeah, of that movie. John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, yeah. He's a really weird clown.
Oh, there's everything clown-like is creepy.
Yeah, even, like, when you see, like, it's any... Yeah, clowns are just altogether scary. I mean, don't get me wrong, doll. Like, that movie Dead Silence with all the dolls.
Okay, so I have, like, a personal vendetta with clowns, obviously.
Yeah.
So, like, we were kind of skimming over dolls. Dolls are also extremely freaky.
When I was a kid, like, so, like, I always got, like, Barbie dolls and stuff as gifts, but it'd be those Barbies you can't open.
Right.
And so they've just sit on the shelf, like, displayed in my room, and I also had a lot of porcelain dolls.
Oh, yeah.
And those are low-key fucking creepy.
Very creepy.
Like, and they follow you. Their eyes follow you.
Yeah.
So I hate that. Like,
and it's also, it's easy to see how, like, a little girl's energy or something can get attached to something.
Oh, like, yeah. That. And then, like, right? Annabelle. Yeah. Like, all those haunted dolls we saw at Zach Bagans. Yeah, like, that was awful.
Haunted dolls are so prevalent that we're actually probably going to do an episode on dolls.
Oh, yeah. So, like, honestly, they're scary.
Dolls are
It's just
terrifying.
Pitted up against clowns. I would say that clowns are probably scarier because it's a human, and humans are cruel, terrible, scary people.
Yeah, right.
You know, well, so it's like...
I still even know the phobia name for clowns. It's coulrophobia.
What is it?
Coulrophobia.
Coulrophobia?
Coulrophobia.
That's weird.
Yeah, right. So, clowns hold a special dark place in my heart. I hate clowns.
That's hilarious. Yeah, a lot of people do. A lot of people are really scared of clowns.
But dolls are just as creepy, so that's a very tough one. I'm obviously going to go with clowns. You make a good case for dolls. Please hit us up at hauntedhazepodcast@gmail.com, and you tell us what you think is the scariest, clowns versus dolls.
Also, before we go, I just want to also remind everybody to check us out on Etsy, Hippie Haze Studios. We have a lot of stash boxes, tie-dye, cool shit, wax melts, just a bunch of different art stuff on there.
Yeah, it's our unique, one-of-a-kind, handcrafted arts and gifts.
Yeah.
Check it out. And Etsy, also on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, also, I've been meaning to bring this up, and but we have had several different people from different countries listening.
Yes.
And that's so exciting. I love looking at the stats.
Yes.
And almost every state in the United States we have had listeners in. So
we really, really appreciate anyone's taking the time to listen to us. We hope you were entertained. That's our goal.
Yeah, so, like, we're just, you know, trying to be funny, but also, like...
Also be a little...
Tell you something like a little creepy, yeah.
It's like having ghost stories around the campfire is how I like to look at it, right?
This is our own little campfire. The campfire gang.
The campfire gang. Is that our...
the listeners? I love it.
Right on.
All right. So, come back next week for episode 19.
Yeah, we'll see you episode 19. Hope you enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, peace out.
Peace out. Stay haunted.